بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا محمد، وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, my young friends, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. Nowadays, it seems like scams are at an all-time high, and they seem to be everywhere. You hear about credit card scams, bank scams, fake check scams, grandparent scams, crypto scams, concert ticket scams, and the list goes on and on. However, there's one scam that is hardly talked about, and that is the Iman scam. And this is when a Muslim gets scammed out of his or her Iman, their faith. They could become a victim due to their lack of awareness, perhaps a lack of education about their faith, or perhaps simply by getting trapped by a scammer. And we'll talk a little bit more about that later. But brothers and sisters, let us understand that our faith is the most valuable asset that we have. And once our faith is gone, then we become irrelevant to this universe. A person losing their iman, getting scammed out of their iman, is like a player or a soldier or a team member who goes rogue and ends up crashing their career. Look at how carefully the Sahaba, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, watched their faith in order to preserve it. Hanzala al-Usayyidi radiyallahu anhu reported that I met Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu, and he said, "How are you, O Hanzala?" You know, like a normal conversation, you meet someone, you say, "Assalamu alaikum, wa alaikum assalam, how's it going, how are you?" So instead of saying, "I'm fine, alhamdulillah," Hanzala radiyallahu anhu says, "Nafaqa Hanzala." Hanzala has become a hypocrite. Okay, now today we understand that being a hypocrite is a bad thing. But when the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when they talked about nifaq and about being a munafiq, that was something huge. That wasn't just like, you know, just being a bad person by being a hypocrite. But it was actually about even being worse in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than a normal disbeliever, right? Because a munafiq was someone who would pretend to be a Muslim, but inside of their heart, they would actually not have iman, they would not have Islam in their heart. Okay, they would just pretend to be Muslim simply for acceptance or for whatever other reason. So Hamzala radiyallahu anhu, one of the scribes of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he tells Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu, "Nafaqa Hamzala," about he himself, that Hamzala has become a munafiq. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was like, "Subhanallah, what are you saying?" So he explains. He says, when we are in the presence of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he reminds us about the hellfire, and he reminds us about paradise, we feel as if we are seeing them with our very eyes. It's so real. Like the description of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and that environment is so authentic, that it's almost like we are able to see the hellfire, we are able to see paradise with our own eyes. But when we are away from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we're attending to our wives, our children, our business, our work, most of these things slip from our minds. So this is the reason why he was worried that he had become a munafiq, he had become a hypocrite, because of this state. So he was paying attention to the state of his iman. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu hears this, and he says, "Wallahi, by Allah, I have experienced the same thing as well." So now both of them are worried that they have become munafiqs. So Abu Bakr and Hanzala radiallahu anhuma, they go to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Hanzala radiallahu anhu, he says that, "Ya Rasulullah, nafaqa Hanzala." Hanzala has become a hypocrite, a munafiq. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, "What has happened to you? You know, what's going on? Like, why are you thinking like this? Why are you saying you've become a munafiq? Like, who comes, you know, my great companions comes and says, 'I've become a munafiq.' Like, what's happening?" So he explains the same thing. that Ya Rasulullah, when we are in your presence and we are reminded of the hellfire and paradise, you know, we feel as if we are seeing them with our very eyes, but when we leave you, we get busy with our families and our work, you know, and our children, then most of these things slip from our minds. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam reassures him. And he says, by him in whose hand is my soul, which is another way of saying by Allah, if your state of mind remained as it is in my presence, and you are always occupied with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like if your state of mind and heart was actually the way you are expecting that it should be, then the angels will shake your hands in your beds and on the roads. Okay, like you would reach such a high state that even the angels would come and would actually shake your hands to salute, you know, your steadfastness and your ability to maintain that high throughout, meaning that it's really not possible. And the Prophet ﷺ goes on, he says, oh Hanzala, rather time should be devoted to this and time should be devoted to that. So we learn, my brothers and sisters, and the Prophet ﷺ, by the way, said that three times. So we understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us with hearts that are not just physical, but they're also spiritual as well. Right? Physically, we can see the physical heart, but our soul also has a spiritual heart as well. And that spiritual heart is the place where our iman, our faith, and our taqwa, which is our fear or consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our piety reside. It is the place of emotions and feelings. And once a person has faith, once a person has iman, it is like a seed. If that seed is fed the right nutrients, it's given the right ingredients and the right conditions and the right environment, it will grow. What will happen? It will grow. Just like when you plant a seed and the weather, you know, you plant a seed in the wintertime or maybe even, you know, the previous fall, and then it snows and, you know, the weather changes and the season changes, and then finally spring comes around and the temperature starts to warm up and, you know, the soil is moist and the proper nutrients are there, then the seeds begins to sprout. Otherwise, what happens? If it doesn't find the right nutrients and the right ingredients, if it doesn't have the right environment, its growth may stall, or it might end up dying out altogether. Right? Therefore, we know that external influences have a great impact on the health of our iman. Once again, we know that external influences have a tremendous impact on the health of our faith. What are these influences? The people we spend time with, what we choose to watch, what we listen to, what we choose to read, what we talk about, what we engage our mind in. All of these things will have an impact on the health of our faith. Right? And now that we're living, you know, in the age of social media and intelligent algorithms, right? When you start clicking on certain types of videos and certain types of articles, or start listening to certain types of podcasts, your world will become filled with those types of videos and those types of articles and those types of posts. Right? Because the algorithm knows that these are the things that you're interested in, and that's what it starts showing you. Right? So your reality then, like you become surrounded by the types of things you show interest in. Right? I was just looking at an article, or I just saw the headline, where they're actually talking about, you know, what AI is actually able to predict, you know, about your behavior, your personality, your lifestyle choices, your credit score, like all this stuff, simply based on your behavioral patterns that are being recorded and that are being observed, right? So when you start engaging in these types of discussions and engaging in this type of material, that becomes your reality. That becomes your environment, okay? So that's like planting a seed, right? And then having winter all year long. Like, how is that seed actually going to sprout? And how is that plant going to survive if you create a greenhouse or like an environment where it's always winter? It's never going to sprout. And whatever is there is going to end up dying, right? Because it doesn't have the right environment. So, you know, this is what's happening more and more today. Now, some of this fluctuation is actually normal, right? As we learn from the hadith of Hanzala radiallahu anhu, it is normal that there will be times where you will have an iman rush, you'll have a high state of iman or yaqeen, and then at times, you know, it's going to fluctuate, it's going to go down, you're going to feel down, you know, you're going to feel a little bit detached, and then you'll recover, and there'll be ups and downs depending on the environment you're in and the types of things you're hearing. As Hanzala radiallahu anhu and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, when they were in the presence of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and they were hearing the words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it was a different state of iman. Right? And when they stepped away, it was a different state of iman, a different level of iman. So the state of our iman will go up and down depending on our activities. Now, those activities that need to be done, right? Obviously, we live in this world, you know, very few people would be able to like go and seclude themselves somewhere. It's probably not even recommended, you know, in our faith. So we obviously have been sent to this dunya, to live in this dunya, to build Jannah in this dunya. Yani, to aim for Jannah, to build our Jannah in the hereafter by spending our time in this life as best as possible in a way that is most pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So naturally, by living in society, living as part of communities and societies, part of civilizations, there will be things that we need to do, and we are indeed encouraged to do as well. There's nothing wrong with doing the basic activities of life that we need to do to in order to survive and excel in a way that's pleasing to Allah. So we do them knowing that they potentially may have this impact. Right? We do these things just like Hamza radiallahu anhu would go to his family and tend to his business and spend time with his children. He was doing those things because that is a part of being a good Muslim, a responsible Muslim, right? But he was aware that it's having an impact on him, that it is affecting his iman. So we do the things that we need to do, but we are cognizant of the fact that those activities at certain points may have a detrimental impact to our faith, to our iman. Now, when you have leisure time, so this is when you're not doing things that you need to do. Okay, when you're not working, you're not studying, you're not spending time with your family, you have downtime. Then we want to try to spend it in a way that is healthy for our iman, or at the very least, it's not harmful for our iman. Okay, it's great if you could spend our free time in a way that actually nourishes our iman. It actually supports our faith. It allows our faith to grow and to flourish, right? Where we give the right conditions, the ideal conditions, sort of like a greenhouse for our seed and our plant of iman to grow. But if you're not able to do that in your free time, then at the very least, let's not put ourselves in environments where, or surround ourselves with things that will end up hurting our iman, that will, you know, that will be sort of like the winter for our seed and for our plant of faith. Now, sometimes entertaining certain thoughts can be an avenue for shaitan to directly place poison in our hearts that can wreak havoc with our iman. Let me say that again. Sometimes entertaining certain thoughts and ideas can be an avenue that we open up that allows shaitan to directly poison our hearts and our minds, and that can wreak havoc with our iman. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, يَأْتِ الشَّيْطَانُ أَحَدَكُمْ فَيَقُولُ مَنْ خَلَقَ كَذَا مَنْ خَلَقَ كَذَا. That the shaitan will come to one of you and he will say that who created such and such? Who created such and such? He's going to start getting you to ask questions. حَتَّى يَقُولَ مَنْ خَلَقَ رَبَّكَ. Until he says to him that who created your Lord? Okay, what does that tell us? It tells us the shaitan doesn't come, normally doesn't come directly to his point right away. But rather, you know, he plays a long game. Okay, he starts off a little bit behind and gradually builds up until he gets you to the point where he wants you to be. So what did the Prophet ﷺ say? The shaitan will come to one of you and say that who created such and such? Man khalaqa kada, man khalaqa kada, who created this? Who created, you know, so you're just like pondering and reflecting and asking lots of questions. Hatta yaqula man khalaqa rabbak. Until he says to him, who created your Lord? And the Prophet ﷺ said, فَإِذَا بَلَغَهُ فَلْيَسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ وَلْيَنْتَهِ. That when it reaches that stage, when the questioning reaches that point, let him seek refuge with Allah, meaning say, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ, and stop thinking about it. Right? Because this is going in a direction which is pleasing to shaitan, because it is leading a person to question, you know, the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the existence of the Creator, and it's taking them down a road that's going to be detrimental to their iman, clearly. In another narration, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said, the people will continue to ask one another questions till this is pronounced, that Allah created all things, but who created Allah? And whoever comes across anything of that, he should say, Amantu billah, he should say, simply, I believe in Allah. Right? Because if you actually go down that path, you don't, you know, come to any real conclusion. Right? Because, anyways, let's not go there. So this is for our own benefit. Now, our faith, our iman is a gift. And no matter how much we want to protect it, just like anything else, we cannot fully do it on our own. We cannot fully do it on our own. We need to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Surah Ali Imran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about the ulul albab, These are the people of understanding. These are the people of reasoning. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us a dua that they make. What is the dua that they make? رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِقْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَّابُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that these ulul albab, the people of reasoning, the people of understanding, they turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they say, our Lord, do not let our hearts deviate after you have guided us. لَا تُزِقْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا. Do not let our hearts deviate after you have guided us. Grant us your mercy. You are indeed the giver, meaning of all bounties. So sometimes, you know, so this is, by the way, a dua that we should all learn and we should all regularly make. رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِقْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَّابُ. Sometimes a person can be doing everything right. Okay, a person is doing everything right. They're surrounding themselves with the right people, the right environment. You know, they're going to the masjid. They're, you know, reciting Quran. They're listening to inspirational lectures. They're reading the right things. You know, so they're doing everything right. Yet they are confronted with a situation that challenges their beliefs or their understanding. It could be a tragedy, it could be an illness, a seeming failure, right? Or a series of apparent failures. Or perhaps they read something that, you know, that they, or they come across an idea that challenges their faith. This is nothing new, but again, perhaps it's happening more and more due to the increased and easier exchanges of information and algorithms and all of that. Now, when this happens, my brothers and sisters, it can lead to a deep sense of loss and confusion. Now, some of these people will seek help from the right sources. Others will find material and voices that will validate their doubts and their confusion, making their situation even more dire. My brothers and sisters, let us know that our deen and our iman has to do, of course, with who? With Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when in doubt, whenever you have such a situation where you find yourself at a loss, or at a in a crisis of faith, or you know, in this type of situation where you're just confused, first and foremost, turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with sincerity and humility and lay it all out. Right? You don't need to be formal with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, like you just lay it out in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you spill it out. For instance, you say something like, oh Allah, this is what I used to believe, or this is what I believe. But this is something I have come across. It is wreaking havoc in my faith, or wreaking havoc in my mind. You know, this is how I feel now. I am a weak being. I don't understand. I am confused. I only want to know the truth. I am not able to distinguish truth from falsehood at this state. Ya Rabb, oh my Lord, please guide me and grant me tranquility in my heart. Simply turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeking His assistance in your state. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to the concept of sharh sadr. Literally, quite literally, the opening of the chest, for example, or the expanding of the chest. So one's heart, to summarize, it's essentially the idea or the belief of one's heart opening up to belief or anything else from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and becoming at peace with it. The heart opening up to belief or something else from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and being at peace with it, right? Being content with it, in accepting it. This comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but sometimes you have to ask for it. You have to beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it. You have to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance. And sometimes Allah is looking if you have that desire to be guided. If you have that desire to have sharh sadr. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam tells us the hadith Qudsi that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ibadi, kullukum dallun illa man hadaytuh, fastahduni ahdikum. Oh my servants, all of you are misguided, or all of you are astray, except those whom I guide. So ask me for guidance, and I will guide you. After all, we do say ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim how many times? Every day? If you offer the fard prayers, at least 17 times a day that we recite it or that we hear it. This highlights its importance, the importance of asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for hidayah. So keep doing it sincerely and don't become despondent, don't become impatient, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, the supplication of every one of you is granted if he or she does not grow impatient and says that I supplicated but it was not granted. The supplication of every one of you is granted if he does not grow impatient and says that I supplicated but it was not granted. So when making dua, don't expect an immediate response. You know, sometimes you may really want an immediate response because of your situation. That's understandable. But don't be impatient and continue asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, Allah azza wa jal will respond to your dua in the way that is best for you at a time that is best for you. Now, if you have doubts and you are concerned about your faith, that is actually a sign of iman. How? Well, you wouldn't be concerned if you didn't have iman. Okay, so the fact that you're concerned about your faith is a sign of faith in and of itself. So your concern is actually a good thing. Many times these doubts are actually due to a lack of knowledge or a lack of understanding. Right? Our ignorance allows us to get scammed out of our iman. What does our ignorance allow us to do? To get scammed out of our iman. Just because we're not able to find an answer does not mean that the answer does not exist. Once again, just because we are not able to find the answer, it does not mean that the answer does not exist. And just because we can't wrap our heads around something doesn't mean it's wrong. Okay. In fact, it is likely that there will be some things that we're not going to get. Why is that? Because, you know, the basics, of course, we understand. Every sane human adult or every sane adult human being has the innate ability to recognize the oneness of God, to recognize Tawheed, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But beyond that, there can be some details, some secondary issues perhaps, that are too challenging for us to comprehend because we haven't studied it fully, right? We don't get it. And we expect that because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's knowledge and wisdom are unmatched. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's knowledge and wisdom are of no match to ours, right? Or ours is no match to that of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because His knowledge and His wisdom are the greatest. And ours is nothing, is minuscule compared to the knowledge and wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So naturally, there will be things about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His system that we may not be able to fully comprehend. Because our knowledge and wisdom cannot get to the knowledge and wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So don't let these secondary issues collapse your iman. Right? It's like demolishing your house because you don't get why the windows are so ridiculously small in the basement. Or like you can't understand why they couldn't just put that window or that HVAC unit, you know, anywhere else in that other than that awkward place where it is now. So you don't like something, you don't understand why the engineer or why the contractor did it that way or the designer did it that way. And you're like, you know what, let me just demolish my whole house because I don't get this. Okay, don't demolish your iman. Instead, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to resolve your doubts and grant you peace with iman. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to continue to guide us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect our iman and that of our future generations till the day of Qiyamah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to lead us towards those things which will strengthen our iman and protect us from that which weakens it. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. We'll take a quick break.